this God that is greater than all the totalitarian forces of evil, this God who is a, what kind of God is he? A mighty God. This God who is mightier than any foe that will ever stand against you.
This is Hope Lives 365 with Pastor Mark Finley. Today's message, A Mighty God, Part 1. Enjoy, and remember you can always catch up with past messages and stay up to date with Hope Lives 365 and Pastor Mark by going to hopelives365.com. And now, Pastor Mark Finley.
Father, we thank you so much that we can share today about how great and mighty you are. And I just pray that during this period that we'd catch a vision, not of ourselves, but of you. We'd catch a vision of the bigness, the greatness of God. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Have you ever read a book that profoundly changed your life and you really believed that God gave you that book at that time? I had just become a Seventh-day Adventist. I was 18 years old. And I read a book that profoundly influenced me. It was a book by J.B. Phillips. You may have read the Phillips translation of the Bible. But J.B. Phillips wrote a book called Your God is Too Small. And in that book, he talks about why young people often reject the concept of God. And one of the reasons they do is because young people can spot a phony a mile away. And what young people really want is not a form of religion, not a pretense of religion, but they want to see a God that's big, a God that's mighty, a God that can do something that is transforming. And in that book, he talks about different views of God. He said some people have a view of God as the resident policeman. That's one concept of God. He's the resident policeman, that he's sitting up in heaven with his policeman hat on, with his blue uniform and badge, almost like a traffic cop that has his radar on the interstate ready to get you if you go beyond the speed limit of 50 miles an hour. So some people have the idea of God as the traffic cop. He's the resident policeman. He's looking down there and says, you did that wrong. You did that wrong. And that kind of God only produces a guilt, but certainly no power. And so J.B. Phillips develops that in one chapter. Another chapter, he talks about God as the cosmic Santa Claus. Some people view God as, oh, Lord, I really want that new Ford Taurus. And you are the God who is the cosmic Santa Claus. Give me that which I desire. But that God, again, is too small. Some people picture God as the benevolent grandfather. He's the kind of God that always puts his arm around and said, it's going to be okay. I know you did. It's going to be okay. And Phillips points out that any one of those views of God is far too small. That God is the all-powerful, the mighty creator. He is the loving redeemer. He is the coming king. He is the one who is far bigger than our ambitions or dreams. I want to talk to you this afternoon about a God that's bigger than you can possibly imagine, about a God that's greater than you can possibly ever conceive, and about a God that has an incredible plan for your life that's beyond your wildest dreams. Now, there are two texts that I want to read, and then I want to illustrate how fantastic this God is. The first passage of Scripture is in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Isaiah 9 and verse 6, and we're going to pick up the theme in Isaiah 9, verse 6 of who this God is. Hosea 9, 6 is a prophecy in the Old Testament about Christ as Messiah. And it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Now notice what kind of God he is in verse 6. What's he called in verse 6? What kind of God? Mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. The Africans have a song, and I love to hear them sing it. It goes on and on again. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. God is mighty. And in the final analysis, none of the powers of hell can stand before him. I'm going to share with you some stories this afternoon. They're incredible. But they're a tribute to this mighty God, this God that is bigger than all the powers of hell, this God that is greater than all the totalitarian forces of evil, this God who is a, what kind of God is he? A mighty God. This God who is mightier than any foe that will ever stand against you. Second passage, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. God has given me the opportunity for the last 40 years to see how mighty he is. For the last 25 years, I've been traveling the world, having the opportunity to share his love and grace. And I've seen this mightiness of God. Ephesians 1 and verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power? Now, this is no small God. This is no God that is some God in a box that can do nothing. Here, Paul says, I've seen the exceeding greatness of his power. Do you want power in your life? God says he has exceeding great power. Do you want to see God do something through you in the high school that you go to? At the place where you work, there is exceeding greatness of his power. He is a God who's a God of no limits. There's no limit with this God. When you give yourself to him, there is no limit to the what? Usefulness of the one who puts self aside and commits themselves wholly and totally to God. The reason we don't see more working of the mighty power of God is because of the fact that there has been that failure at times to make a full surrender to God. If you make a full surrender to God, he's going to do something amazing through you. You're going to see how mighty he is. As we make a full surrender to God, we see the greatness of his power. Verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Do you believe? Yes. Do you? I know you do. You believe, right? And what are you going to see if you believe? What does the text say? The exceeding greatness of what? His power to those that believe. We go on. According to the working of his mighty what? Power. He's a mighty God and he has mighty power. When communism fell in 1989, as the result of Mikhail Gorbachev's emphasis on perestroika and glasnost. Perestroika is a word in Russian that means restructuring, and glasnost means openness. And so Gorbachev saw that the former Soviet Union was isolated, and he wanted to restructure and have a period of openness in that society. When that openness occurred, the former Soviet Union opened for the preaching of the gospel. And we were invited. I had been working since 85 in communist countries. From 85 to 90, working in those communist countries, I was largely helping to negotiate religious freedom and opportunities for Seventh-day Adventists to hold evangelistic meetings. And so I was able to understand at least somewhat about the communist mind. 1989, when Russia opened and communism fell, we're invited to come to the former Soviet Union, in Moscow particularly. At that time, we had one Seventh-day Adventist church in Moscow. That church had existed for probably 70 years. Our religious liberty was very limited. But now, the doors of religious freedom opened. And we went and held an evangelistic meeting in an auditorium, a university auditorium called Pohana University. When I got there, the Russian leadership, the Adventist leadership, was concerned. And they said, Pastor Mark, we're going to give you a bodyguard. Now, I'm not concerned about bodyguards because the Bible says that I've got 1,000 angels times 10,000 that watch over me. But occasionally, I will yield to what others think. And so they said, we want to assign you a bodyguard. So one day, I was walking with my bodyguard, Boris, and he wasn't a huge fellow at all. He was probably 5'11", maybe 5'10". He was pretty muscular and fairly fit. And so we were walking down a hallway in a hotel one day, and I said, I kind of pushed him a little bit. He was in his early 20s. And I said, hey, Boris, if somebody attacked me, what would you do? He said, I'll show you what I could have done. And he jumped, and he jumped and did a karate kick. And literally, he was this level, and he put footprints on the wall above my head. And I kind of went, gulp. And I said, I need to know a little bit about your background. Tell me who you are. And he smiled and he said, Mark, I wouldn't do that today, but I was just teasing you a little bit. He said, I'd get my arm around them and talk to them. I said, but who are you? He said, I'll tell you. My uncle guarded Stalin. You know, Stalin, we talk about Hitler as being evil. You know, Hitler killed 6 million Jews. Stalin killed 20 to 40 million Russians. When the Russian metro was being built under Moscow, and it's one of the nicest metros in the world, it was fantastic. It had beautiful marble statues and columns and artwork, shops. It was the most advanced metro in the world. Stalin wanted the metro built, so he called in the foreman and he put his finger on a date and he said, I want the metro finished by that date. He said, Comrade Stalin, the manager said, Comrade Stalin, that's going to take 20,000 men. He said, I don't care. I'll give you 20,000. He said, we're going to have to work three shifts day and night. I don't care. It's going to cost millions of rubles. I don't care. Comrade Stalin, we're going to lose at least 10,000 people. They're going to die if we push them because there's going to be a lot of cave-ins. We can't work to safety. I don't care if you lose 10,000 people building that metro and they die. If they don't build it, you may die. Build that metro. And they accomplished the metro, and I think they lost 5,000, 10,000 people. And Stalin didn't care. Stalin was ruthless. Anybody around him that got close to him, that he thought or perceived may be a threat to his authority, he killed them.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Finley. We thank you for listening and hope you're enjoying today's message. Our mission is to attractively present the Christ-centered biblical truths of Scripture in a practical, relevant way to people around the world so that they may experience the abundant life that Christ offers and effectively share with confidence His life-changing truths with others. You can support this ministry and help us reach even more by going to hopelives365.com/donate. And now, back to Pastor Mark Finley.
This young man that was my bodyguard, his uncle guarded Stalin. He wanted all of his life to be a KGB agent and a spy against the West. I come from the West. He wanted to be a spy against the West. That was his dream. Now, what happened in the former Soviet Union was they would choose the most intelligent and the brightest, take them aside, and train them to be KGB agents. So I sat down with Boris, and I said, Boris, tell me about the classes you took. He said, well, I took psychological manipulation. I can walk into any room and within 5 minutes find out in that group of 75 or 100 people, this man's a leader. This woman is the leader. If I can manipulate the minds of the leaders, I can take the whole group and control them. So I understand mind control. I understand manipulation. Secondly, I took karate. I know where to hit and how to hit instantly. Thirdly, I took explosives to blow up bridges. Fourthly, I took a class in knives and guns. We talked about his background. I said, what were the plans for your life? He said, the plans for my life is I was going to be a spy in Italy. And I was going to be dropped into Italy and spy in Italy. So I had to learn Italian. I was going to be a Russian businessman in Italy spying for the Russian government. I said, what changed all that? He said, one night I was going to KGB school and I was doing guard duty. And it had rained that night and I was up in a guard tower. And when I stepped to come down off the guard tower, I stepped on the first step and I began to tumble and I fell and I broke my back. I ended up in a KGB hospital, special hospital. While I was in the hospital, I was watching television. And this was the time at Tbilisi in Georgia, not Georgia in the United States, but Tbilisi. This was the time in Tbilisi in Georgia that the Georgian Russian Republic was rebelling against Moscow. So Moscow sent in KGB agents who were in Boris's class to infiltrate the crowd to incite riots against the government. Remember I told you they knew psychological manipulation? So they were to go into the crowd, incite riots against the Georgian government to bring it down. So Russia didn't have to send all its troops in, but they wanted to cause revolution within, and that's the function of the KGB. And so he said, I was watching TV with my broken back, looking at the crowds on television and the Russian news reports. I saw my own classmates inciting riots. And I said to myself, is this the way you want to spend the rest of your life? In deceit? In lying? In cheating? Is this the way you want to spend the rest of your life? And he said, I laid there on my bed thinking, this is not the life I want. And he said, as I lay on my bed day after day saying, what's the purpose of my life? What can I find to do in life that's worthwhile beside building the Soviet empire? Scores of young people gave their lives to build the Soviet empire because they believed in the ideology of communism. Young people want to give their life to something big and grand. And the greatest thing you can give your life to is the proclamation of the gospel.
Amen.
The greatest thing, the biggest cause on earth is this gospel of the kingdom going to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. There is no greater cause than that. Boris was lying on his bed and he said, I thought of somebody called Jesus. He said, I had heard the name of Jesus one time in my life. One time I had heard the name of Jesus and it came in my head. And he said, I had heard that this Jesus had given a mountain sermon. He didn't know the Sermon on the Mount. He thought it was a mountain sermon, Sermon on the Mount. But he said, I thought if I could only get a copy of this mountain sermon, because somebody said it said something about how to have meaning in life, like the peacemakers, and I want to be a peacemaker. I don't think I want to do this riot and revolution business. So he thought, I know what. I will write to the Orthodox priest in Russia. Maybe in the archives of the Orthodox Church, there is one of these copies of the Mountain Sermon. You think one of those might be still around? So he wrote to the Orthodox priest. Now, in Russia, in those days, in an attempt to control all religions, they put all the religious mailboxes in the post office next to one another. And when the letter came to the Russian Orthodox priest, the postmaster put it in the Adventist pastor's mailbox by mistake. You think it was mistake? What do you think?
No.
The Holy Spirit leads in miraculous ways, doesn't he? The letter came. The Adventist pastor read the letter. As he read the letter, he went and visited Boris in the KGB hospital. And Boris had all the typical arguments against the Bible. You know, I want to learn a little bit about this Jesus, but look, the Bible can't be true. The Adventist pastor opened the Bible and he said, let me share with you a prophecy in Daniel. Now, Boris had studied Babylon. He had studied Medo-Persia. He had studied Greece and Rome, and his mouth was open. He said, what university did you go to? In those days, the Adventist pastors couldn't go to any university. The Adventist pastor talked about the prophecies of Daniel. Boris was convicted, and he said, when I get out of the hospital, I need to see you. Now, you don't go to the KGB after they trained you and said, I don't think I want to do this anymore. I think I'll change professions. But they said to him, because you broke your back and because you may have a physical infirmity that would be a liability for some of the tasks, we're so sorry to disappoint you, but you're not going to qualify for the top KGB office and we'll release you. God was moving powerfully. Mm-hmm. Boris left. The Adventist pastor studied with him. He became a Seventh-day Adventist. He said to me, Mark, I know those things, but I'm here not to use any force. I'm here to just guide you around by my knowledge, people that may want to harm you. I was with him for 3 years. At the end of 3 years, that young man made a decision to become, because we kept going back and forth to Moscow for 3 years, he made a decision, we talked, to become an Adventist pastor. I gave him my graphics, and he began preaching the Adventist message in his early 20s as a powerful evangelist. He held 5 meetings, 10 meetings, 20 meetings, evangelistic meetings. Today, he is a conference president in Russia, a former KGB agent. We serve a what kind of God? Mighty. What kind of God is he? Mighty. He is a mighty God. He is a mighty God. We began walking around the Kremlin. Now, the Kremlin is an incredible piece of property. Over 200 major buildings in the Kremlin. And as you walk around the Kremlin, it's probably a mile and a half around. When we first were looking at the Kremlin, we began to pray, Lord, if you could give us the Kremlin for an evangelistic meeting in the center of the former Soviet Union, it will have a message that will go to all of the republics of the former Soviet Union and touch over 200 million people. We get to pray, God, please give us the Kremlin. Lord, I want to hold an evangelistic meeting in the Kremlin. This is where Khrushchev spoke and Andropov spoke. This is where the great Soviet leaders espoused atheism. Lord, we want to hold a meeting in the Kremlin. God opened the door to the Kremlin. They agreed that we'd have an evangelistic meeting there. And at first they said, you cannot carry in a Bible. We began to pray, Lord, open the door. We want to give out Bibles. We want to give out 20,000 Bibles to the people that come. Pretty soon they said, okay, Mr. Finley, you cannot bring any of your Bibles in. If you want to bring those Bibles in, the Russian army has to carry the boxes. I said, praise the Lord. We'll let the Russian army carry the boxes any day. Saves our deacons' backs. Russian army trucks picked up 20,000 Bibles and delivered them to the Kremlin. What kind of God do we serve? What kind of God is he? One day I was sitting in a restaurant in Moscow. At that time, the General Conference president was Elder Neil Wilson. He came to me and looked at me with a very concerned look on his face. And he said, Pastor Mark, we got a problem. I said, what's the problem? It was March 16, 1992. He said, we have a problem. I said, what's the problem? He said, didn't you read the headlines of the paper today? I said, no. He said, the Russian Communist Party. Now, this is what year is it? 1992. When did communism fall? 89. So he said, the Russian Communist Party is going to have a large rally in Red Square. They want to bring the nation back to communism. You are having your evangelistic meeting in the Kremlin. This is where the Communist Party always meets. The Yeltsin government, and you remember the Yeltsin, Boris Yeltsin stood against communism. He walked out and put his hands up in front of the tank. The Yeltsin government that stands for democracy doesn't want them in the Kremlin. They are going to demonstrate, and the paper today, the headline says, Communist Party wants to hold their annual convention where they always have held it for the last 40 years, but because American evangelist Mark Finley is in there, they can't. That's not good. I said, no, it's not.
You've been listening to Hope Lives 365 with Pastor Mark Finley. We hope you've enjoyed today's message and remind you that you can find more in our many ministry resources at hopelives365.com. And you can support this ministry by going to hopelives365.com/donate. And now, a final thought from Pastor Mark.
As you commit yourself to Christ, and you're committed young people, you've committed yourself to Jesus. He's a mighty God. You're going to see the greatness of his power in your life. Maybe not in the exact same ways that I have seen it, but you will see it in a Bible study you give. You'll see it in a piece of literature you give out. You'll see it in an evangelistic meeting you get involved in. God has something bigger for you and better for you than simply going out and working in some factory or working at McDonald's or working at some nurse or working as a doctor and making money and having some palatial of some big house someplace. God has purpose and meaning in your life. He wants to work through you in incredible ways. And whatever He leads you to do, whether it's a doctor, nurse, computer engineer, whether it is a teacher, a lawyer, whatever that is, your main work is to use that platform to lead people to Jesus. That's the meaning of life and the greatness of life.